Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias and showed himself in this way. Gathered there together was Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples, Simon Peter said to him, I am going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, have you no fish? Have you no fish? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Then Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord. He put on his shoes, and he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish. But they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled a net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come, have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared to ask, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to them, feed my lambs. A second time he said to them, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to them, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter felt hurt because he said this a third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your belt and to go wherever you wish. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go. He said this to indicate the kind of death which would glorify God. After this, he said to him, follow me.
The Gospel of the Lord.
Well, your pastor made this Peter and Paul Sunday, and that's what the lessons are. In our Lutheran rubrics, you know, we have sometimes special designations on a particular Sunday, and I'm sure all of you know the color of the day is green, so we're in that long season of Pentecost. Covers half the year, or whatever. But it's good to break it up a little bit, you know, and to have some of the other things that we have in our stories today. And this Peter and Paul lesson probably strikes home with us in a lot of ways this morning. I was fascinated by the way the pericope writers put together the lessons for the day. And if you follow them, you know that the first lesson is not an Old Testament lesson, but it's the Acts lesson. And the Acts is the Acts of the Apostles. That's why it's called Acts. And for those Bible scholars among us, you know that the book of Luke and Acts is really one book, but, you know, we divide things up because that amnesia thing again, I think, helps us to remember better what it is that we're reading and doing in this. So
Luke is the life and witness of Jesus, and the Acts is the witness of the apostles. And if you follow the lessons, kind of the themes in each one of these, you found kind of a theme that kind of worked like this. You found out how Peter and Paul died, or the martyrs. They became martyrs. And of course, everybody who was a disciple of Jesus somewhere along the way became a martyr. Not necessarily because they were trying to be. I mean, nobody actually, far as I can tell, volunteers to be a real martyr, because a martyr is not something you volunteer to do. It is because you do the witness that you are charged to do so fervently. Well, some for a few, that's the end result. And then the lesson went on to bring us up to the gospel. And that's where I'm going to eventually sit this morning, is on the gospel. Because too often we can get stuck dealing with all of the things that lead up to the gospel. I mean, you know, the difficulties. The story that you heard this morning was about prison and being in prison, and suddenly the prison is opened up and Peter gets to walk out. Most of us look at that as a miracle story. And that's where we like miracle stories. Oh man, God opened up the prison, and that's what we ought to talk about this morning, how God opens up the prisons. Well, yeah, God does that too, but that's not the main course of today's lesson. And if you followed the gospel, Jesus had to do it one more time. As the scriptures say, he presented himself after his death, how many times? Three times. Is that three? Yeah, three times. Three times. This is the third time he's had to present himself before the disciples. Because I know this story, and you do too. We just rehearsed it not that many days ago. We called it Easter. But before we got to Easter, we had to deal with a whole bunch of other stuff on that thing we call Passion Week. You remember that? How many of you remember what happened on Palm Sunday? Anybody? We have to do these refresher courses, you know, sometimes. Otherwise, the sermon don't make no sense. Palm Sunday, Jesus came into Jerusalem, and everybody had their palm branches up, and we celebrated, because didn't you have palms too? Yeah. So we had palms, and we were waving them, and we're putting them down, and we're saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. We recognized that there was something special about Jesus. We might not have yet recognized that he was the Son of God. We might not have understood all the things that were going on. And of course, there were other rumors going on, some of them good, some of them bad. Some of the stories you heard was that he healed some people. And we read in the scriptures that, you remember that, who's that guy's name? Lazarus, I think it was. Remember him? Called him right from the dead. And I'm sure that there were some rumors going around about this Jesus character. And some people didn't particularly like that he was doing what he was doing, particularly some of the authorities of the day, both religious and secular authorities, because he seemed to be able to command the spirits of the people. When he gathered, sometimes they gathered in the thousands to hear him. Well, you know, that's a threat. Because if I could walk out right now and gather 10,000 people to hear me, I bet the mayor would show up. I want to know who it is that can do that. And although he didn't say anything really negative about any of those other folks, they took it personally, and a threat to their power base. And during that week, we saw Jesus go from being hailed as king to what happened on Good Friday. We killed him. All in just a week's time. And in fact, it really didn't take us that long because, you know, what really happened was the conspirators got to spinning their web and they began to set Jesus up. We call it in our ritual, Monday, Thursday, you know, when he met with some of the disciples and had dinner with them. You know, one of the things that keeps our mind straight is if we feed somebody, they'll remember you. Feed them, take them out to eat. They'll remember that. Give them some energy. To took him to and he met with his disciples. And that's where he gave us those two commandments. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And what's the other one? Have no other God before thee. You remember those? Met, sat, ate with him, and gave him pretty much his final instructions. Jesus knew what was getting ready to happen, but the disciples had not yet fully understood or seen clearly what was about to happen. And then the evening came. And I'm not going to go through the whole story because I preached on this now 7 or 8 times in the last few days, last few weeks, because I keep bringing us back to that Easter time. Because see, we are Easter children now. We're on the other side of the story. We get stuck somehow sometimes on the backside of things, but and can't get over the hump, you know. So I try to tell you where it is that we're supposed to be leading up from. Let's get out of the time before he rose from the dead. Let's get on the other side, the resurrection side. Because that's where the story is leading us this morning, on this side of God's work in our lives. And after they got him, they sent the soldiers after him. They had court that night. When you want to trap somebody, you know the best time to do it is to do it at night because everybody else is asleep. Trapped Jesus that evening. And by midday on Friday, we had hung him on the cross. Now, let's be honest. If any of us were there, we would have been just like the disciples, just like the followers. We would have known that it was over. And we would not have even remembered all the stuff Jesus said. You know, when you are mourning and when you're in fear and when you're in pain, you don't remember stuff. Things just go right over your head. I've been in situations on more than one occasion when I've been with someone whose loved one has recently passed and they're trying to make sense of these things. It's, of course, things we can't make sense of because we're not in charge of life and death. We just get to live the life, that spot in between those two things. But our ability to retain what's going on and sense what's going on around us usually is somewhat diminished. And we would have been just like those disciples. And I mean, not only were they diminished, we had to do a little backpedaling. You remember Peter and that situation where somebody said, didn't I see you? Weren't you with him? And what did they say? No. Matter of fact, they just didn't say it once. How many times did they say it? Yeah, 3 times. Denied him 3 times because we were in fear for ourselves. Because you know that if they got Jesus, if they got the master, if they killed him, who do you think was next? All of his followers. We had to take them out because the authority has to show who's in charge. It ain't Jesus. It's the chief priest. It's the civil authorities of the day. That's who's in charge. You know, the civil authorities are always trying to prove who's in charge. And then the next couple of days, it was just, well, just sad. Jesus has died. What do I do? Where do we go? What's next? The one thing Jesus didn't do, he didn't leave them a diary of what they were supposed to do next. That's something he kind of had to figure out. And for most of us, we were done just like the disciples did too. Even all of that stuff that took place on Friday, we got the body. We start preparing for Monday. Now, what happens on Monday morning? You got to show up for work. Right? You got to get busy with the other things. There's a whole week left. And although you may be in mourning, everybody around you ain't in mourning because there may be some children who want some breakfast. And there may be some family members who need some assistance. You need to get to the office. You need to do whatever you need to do. You got to get to school. You know, you've got a life to live. And even though you're in the midst of mourning, you are also got to deal with all the other things. Disciples had to do the same thing. Someone went back to work, fishing. Got to earn a living, do the best you can with what you got. Got to get back out on the boat, because that's going to get the next meals. But you see, that Sunday was not just an ordinary Sunday, that particular day. Jesus rose on that day, then presented himself first to Mary and then to the other disciples. And he had to do it again and again, because we were like Thomas in that situation, you see. Unless I can put my hand where you got your nail print, unless I can put my hand where you got that sword print, I ain't gonna believe nothing. I gotta see you before I believe you. And Jesus presented himself, and here we are this morning. That's what the lesson is telling us now. For the third time, he had to present himself to us so that we would once again understand the promise he made, that he was going to die and rise on the third day. He was going to bring a new relationship between humanity and God, and that no longer were you bound by the law, but you were only bound by the gospel, and that gospel had already been given to every person, written in your hearts, as the word says. He's given that to us, and now we stand living in a different time and in a different place, which also means we got to act differently. We can't be like we used to be, because now we know the power of God to transform. We know the power of God to heal. We know the power of God to teach us how to serve. We know the power of the Holy Spirit to give us enthusiasm for preaching and speaking the word. We know how to lay hands on the sick, and we know how to pray for one another. God gave us all of these examples. We even know how to forgive the sins, give each other sins. And now, I know in here that everybody who shows up at church is pretty righteous, so I know you don't do any sinning or anything like that, but there are a few who know about this stuff and who need that power so that they can forgive the sins of their neighbor. You see, to fulfill even the two commandments, love thy neighbor as thyself and have no other God before thee, that's a monumental task to get that job done. Without the power of God, without the power of the Holy Spirit to instruct us, infuse us, to allow us to stand up in the face of threats, to allow us to teach us how to handle fear, to take risk, because the ministry of Jesus was all about taking risk. And the work of the apostles, Paul and all the rest, risky business. And when you're doing church work, I'm telling you, it's a risk. All of it is a risk. When you put yourself out there to help somebody, it's a risk. When you speak a word, thus saith the Lord, it's a risk. When you pray for your neighbors, it's a risk. And it works a risk on both sides. You see, sometimes you can pray for things to happen and they don't happen like you think it's going to happen. But you have to risk that if you pray, God will make it happen the way it needs to happen. Because it's not my will be done, it's whose? Thy will be done. And we need that reminder every Sunday. Some of us need it on Friday and Saturday too. But at least every Sunday we come to church to be reminded about the work, about the challenges, about the risk. But see, that's the good part about this whole story. We weren't left hanging. We weren't left mourning. We weren't left crying. We weren't left at the altar. No, Jesus met the disciples again on the beach, gave them something to eat. Got to feed that mind so you can talk to the spirit. And then they are to do what? Go out and do likewise. And I already know that some of y'all already do that, because I was right down there at Grace and somebody did go out and do likewise, and books showed up, and clothes showed up, and food showed up. I know that somebody said go out and do likewise, and Vacation Bible School is about to start. Now, I know some of you said go and do likewise, and you have taken on the ministry that God has given to you. I don't know what it is. I don't know how difficult it may be. But whatever God charged you to do, I know some of you are out there doing it because I hear about you all the time. You see, when you're out there, people talk about you. That's what they do. They talk about you. Who told them to go out there and do that? I bet I could do it better than they can. Well, if you can, come on and do it. Show me how to do it. I know that God didn't stop with the disciples. It didn't stop with Jesus, because here we are, 2,000 years later, sitting at St. Matthew's Lutheran Church, trying to do ministry. And I have to just remind you, you know, it's nice to be in the Spirit and of the Lord, but even when you're in the middle of that, Satan is still running around doing his thing. It ain't smooth landing on this process. You know, there's going to be some bumps along the way. There's going to be some things that don't quite work out right. And just like Paul said on more than one occasion, even when you do it right, even when you do it perfect, it still turn out wrong. But the Spirit never departs from us. You see, that's the grace. Even in the difficulties we may have in our own lives, our own church, our own communities, our own neighbor, the Spirit of the Lord doesn't depart from us. It's there. It's there to help us. It fortifies us. It allows us to persevere. And of course, when we are at our weakest time, that's when God is at God's strongest time. When we don't get it right, that's when God fixes it. When we mess it up, that's when God has his opportunity to make it better. Jesus had to go and be with the disciples one more time. Had to have breakfast with them one more time. Just to remind them that death was not the end. But they are the continuation of the ministry he started. And it must be working. Here you are. Something's happening. I heard us pray. It must be moving, because when I know you leave here, the witness of this congregation and the witness of this people goes beyond the doors, the windows, and the walls of this church. Something's happening, because I can see that lives are changed. I might not have a clear vision of it right now, but if I wait long enough, I'll see the full cycle of God transforming lives. From the time we were children to the time we become adults. The mystery of God's work is really not a mystery. It's the Spirit. Freely given. Celebrated on Pentecost. And here with us this morning. I pray that in your life, in the ministry and witness that you do this week, that somebody else can see that Spirit. And if you want to get somebody talking about you, when you leave here today, go out smiling. Because somebody want to know what you're smiling about. They're going to start asking about it. What you got? Where'd you get it from? That might be your opportunity to say, well, just why don't you just come and visit over here with me this Sunday, and I'll show you where I get that smile from. For the Spirit of the Lord has been given to us. Go and do as Jesus did with that Spirit. and give it away. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.